Praise his name. Let's stand together if you would. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's again a wonderful privilege. We thank you so much for these opportunities you give us. Lord, it's so wonderful to gather together, Lord, and to fellowship and to draw strength one from another. Lord Jesus, our precious brothers and sisters, how we love them so much. And Lord, the most of all is, Lord, when we visit with you, you promise to be here with us. You promise to come down. And Lord, strengthen us and meet our needs. We're so thankful for that. May our hearts be open tonight to receive what you have for us. Lord, you know where each and every one stands and what hour of their life they're standing in and what exactly we need. So, Father, we just lean on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, just guide us. And Lord, keep us in thy will. We thank you so much. In your precious holy name, we ask these things. Amen. Praise his holy name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, over to page 105 in our Only Blues. I think this is probably close to my favorite song. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Hallelujah.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so, a babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on that shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ, the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love him. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace placed within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee." Amen. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to talk, the dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be the mercy of that man. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Nicodemus came by night to know the way of right. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words he said to him, "Ye must be born again by the Spirit of that man from Galilee." Amen. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. She was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace placed within. Then she cried, come see that man from Galilee.
Amen.
Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Do you love that man from Galilee? Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful, saints. Praise his holy name. Page 54 on our capstone books. Amen. Victory. Hallelujah. Truly have the victory in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus full salvation brought. Victory. Victory. Let the power of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail. Victory. Victory. Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. I am trusting in the Lord. I am anchored in his word. Victory. Victory. Oh, I have peace and joy within, since my heart is free from sin. Victory.
Amen.
Oh, victory. Oh, victory. Yes, victory.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, he is all and all to me. Shout your freedom everywhere, his eternal peace declare. Victory,
amen,
oh victory. Let us sing it here below, in the face of every foe. Victory,
amen.
Oh, victory. Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah. I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Oh, we will sing it on that shore when this fleeting life is o'er. Victory, oh, victory. Oh, sing it here, ye ransomed throng. Shout the everlasting song. Victory,
amen. Victory in Jesus. Praise his name.
Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me.
Sing one more time.
Oh, victory,
amen.
Victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, hallelujah. He is all,
amen,
and all to me.
Amen. Do you have the victory in Jesus? Amen. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Page 169. Let's sing that before we... Amen. Wonderful.
Praise his name. Wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, my heart sings today, sings with joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, amen. Is he wonderful to you? Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon that book. Amen. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, having sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that full and free. Amen. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Amen. Oh, saints, we sing and I was thinking how many revelations is just right in that one little song. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. What he's done and shown to us, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. I love him so much. Praise his name. Brother Paul, would you come up and take up the offering? That's the blessing too, if you will.
Our Jesus, Son and Father, we come to you this night, Lord Jesus, just wanting to come to serve you, Lord Jesus, and hear from you once again this day, Lord Jesus, and hear the word of God, Lord, that you have given us, Lord Jesus, for this end time message, Lord Jesus. We just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for that revelation that you have given us, and that we can understand, Lord Jesus, what was sent in this mighty, powerful word you've sent us this last day, Lord Jesus, that we want to see us through, Lord Jesus. We see this world falling apart so quickly, Lord Jesus. We know the time is coming here, Lord Jesus, and I pray you just give us that strength and revelation that we need for our body, Lord, and just see us through, Father, Lord Jesus, and we just still depend upon that word, Lord, that you've sent us in this last day to get us in, Father. And Lord Jesus, the work you've started, Lord, is the work that can finish it, Lord. We trust in you, Father. We just want to ask now, just bless those that tithes and offerings that are about take, Lord, just make be used for the funds of your kingdom, warriors, and the Father, Lord, you ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Praise his holy name. I've been redeemed by love divine. Amen.
I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. Oh, I have been redeemed.
Amen.
Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Christ is mine. Oh, all to him I now resign. Amen. Who I have been, I am it.
Can you sing it with all your heart?
Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, all to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Amen. All His grace. Hallelujah. I may have something on your heart you'd like to ask Him for. Amen. Need, whatever it is, saints, He's already met it. Hallelujah. So may He grant faith in our hearts to receive. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Brother Philip, would you take the request again tonight?
Heavenly Father, we appreciate the opportunity to have together here again this evening, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the strength and the power of Your Holy Spirit that keeps us in this hour, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, to live, Lord, the way You'd have us to live, Lord. And pray, Father, that even as the hour draws closer, Lord, that we'll draw closer and closer unto You, Lord. And surrender our lives more fully, completely unto You, that we might be a living witness and testimony to You in this hour, Lord. And help us, Lord, whatever the light comes, Lord, that we'll be able to stand, Lord, and stay true and faithful to Your word, Lord.
Yes.
We pray that might You meet the needs, Lord, meet every spiritual need, and every physical need, and every material need. And we pray that You meet every need and grant it, Lord, to Your honor and Your glory. We pray that You continue to live our mighty, Lord, that You grant us a speedy recovery, Lord. And thou God, everything be well with her. We pray, Father, You anoint Your word tonight. Be
Amen.
Oh, God, and help us, Lord, to reach deeper and deeper in Your storehouse of love, that we might be the chosen people of God in this hour, to truly show forth the very life of Jesus Christ in this hour. We ask His name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Amen. Would we have a special tonight? Amen. Grace, you got one? Yes, if you come.
Take a home.
Let's stand together, if you will, to ask our brother to come sing a little chorus, "Only Believe."
Only believe. Precious Lord, once more we've come this evening to gather around your precious word and to stir our hearts, Lord, by the precious word in which you've left us. And we just humbly ask that you'll take these few words, Lord, that and thought that you've laid upon my heart, and may it stir our hearts, Lord, and cause us to press, Lord, and to keep moving on and to not lose sight, Lord, of our goal, we pray. In this late hour, Lord, as we see things around us shaping up, but Lord, may we be watching for our own lives to come in contact, Lord, and in continuity with the precious word that's been left for this day. And Lord, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word and to our hearts, and just give us revelation, Lord, more than anything in this life of all the word that's been left us, we pray, and we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Oh, he is so wonderful. Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles over to Hebrews, we'll read a verse of Scripture and you can be seated. Amen. Just a little thought this evening. It probably won't be very lengthy, but just some things to think about as we see the age and time in which we're living. Praying that it'll stir our hearts a little bit. Amen. But here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in a very familiar scripture, we'll just read that 7th verse. But by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And may the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. You know, as we look around us and we always look back into God's precious word, at our examples and the things that was written and lit and put on these pages for us. And I often think about Noah a lot as we begin to see where we're standing in time, and realizing that Noah came with a message from God, God speaking to Noah and revealing to him that he was going to destroy the world by water. He told him to go prepare that boat. And then to stop and think that Noah, for 120 years, kept preaching to that generation that it was going to rain. And he never stopped working on what God told him to do. He kept making all of his preparations. And every day he was right there building till the boat was done. And still preaching that it was going to rain. And people stood around and scoffed him and mocked him and making fun. And Brother Branham even dramatized it a little bit at different times when he said they went into the ark, you know, and the door was shut. Maybe Noah gathered all of his family around and sat there with him and tell him, "Now tomorrow morning when we wake up, the rain's going to be here." And woke up that first morning of being in the ark and the sun was shining just as bright as it ever had. Not a cloud in the sky. And Brother Branham typed it that maybe his daughter would have came to him or his son would come to him and, "What about this?" And he said, "Nope, the Lord said it's going to rain." And you know, he was very faithful to that, and he never lost sight of that goal no matter. And you have to stop to think about that. In a world where in his day, where it was just him and his sons alone building a boat, and his own family, 8 souls went into that boat that day. And to think that of all the time that he kept preaching that message and telling them, God had revealed it to him so great he could see it and knew it was coming. And kept on and kept on, and then finally that word was made manifest and it happened. The rains come and it was too late for all of those that stood around. And we see the same thing as God delivered Israel out of Egypt and how God gave Moses a message to take down there. And then that last final night when they apply the blood over the door, the death angel is going to pass, and how many they obeyed the word of God, and God made manifest his word that was spoken to Abraham. Look how many years before that he would bring him out with a mighty hand. Amen. God's word lays and is spoken, and it goes and it never ends. And what God says will come to pass. His words will not fail. Our brother has quoted that the other night when he was ministering, that these heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word will not. And you know, as we think about this and we look at these things and we see how God has always sent that messenger, or told of things to come. Even when we look at Malachi, and Malachi telling that John the Baptist would come to run the first forecoming of Christ. And how many years it was that that word went forth. And then all of a sudden, one day, here come the manifestation of that precious word. A little way down the line, it seemed, but God's word was made manifest and brought totally around. And then we can also look to where he spoke of the prophet coming in this age. Before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. And we can look and see how many years it was from the time that was spoken till today when that was fulfilled. And now we stand here in this year 2020, and when we can look back, it's been 57 years since 1963 when God began to reveal the precious word, and the Son of Man was revealed and brought forth all of these things through a prophet that he sent in this last age. And God's word went forth then, the same as Noah started with his message 120 years before that rain ever fell. Noah preached and preached, but that word was spoken way back before. And it held true. It never wavered and it never changed. What God said, he meant, and it come to pass just exactly the way he gave it to Noah, to tell the people. And today, how we stand here today and we see this happening all around us, God sent a prophet. And yes, some of us never seen him. Some of us never seen the great signs and the wonders that took place other than through recordings or through these different things, the books that we've read and the testimonies that have been given. But nevertheless, God predestinated a people to be in this last age. Just the same as he's told Thomas, blessed are those who have believed and have not seen that he was alive. And today it is, blessed are our eyes that we have not seen these things, but yet we believe. Yes. But it's only by God's grace if we do believe and truly are holding fast to those things that have been brought. Yes. But we live in an age where God sent the messenger, and the messenger for that last age and the closing out right before the appearing of the Lord. And he went forth crying, make ready, he's coming again. And that word has went forth in the preparation of how that bride should be getting ready. And all these different words that's been left for us, so many have walked on and tread on and tore it down and trying to say it's not so. And you know, God sent that prophet at a time when the world was just all mixed up in different denominations. This one believed that, and this one over here. But God sent a prophet to bring back the truth. And to present it back that there would be a genuine version of what God had said would be. And to show us exactly where we could stand in this last age. But as we're entering this last day and this word is coming forth and we gather in here and as a little people, we come in here and we gather under the sound of our pastor's voice to rehearse this word and to bring it back to our minds. And I wonder how often we truly remember that the message has been out now. It's been sent forth. Look how many years. We'll just say 57 since 63. But the voice sounded and the message went forth. And how much closer today are we than we were then? You know, look at Noah's message the first time he presented it. And then 120 years later it come to pass. And we don't know the day. Noah didn't know the day that the rain was going to come. But it never changed his message. And it never changed his outlook. He'd done exactly what God said to do, and he towed the mark with every word that God had given him. He didn't try to shortchange the boat, maybe about the 60th year along. Well, maybe it just doesn't need to have this one little window up there. Maybe that's not that important now. It ain't rained this far. No, he never shortchanged it. He never tried to change anything, but he stayed right with what God had revealed to him. 100% all the way through. And as we see that happening, I just wanted to read some things that the prophet had said in some different messages and catching to think about where we are. Because the message has been sent. And here we stand. How long have we known what God required? How long have we known what's been in these pages and read it and heard it? But has it been revealed to us in the manner that it's changed our lives to match it with the manifestation to back it up? That it's not something we just claim to believe, but it's truly something that's vindicated, we believed. Noah's works vindicated that he believed exactly what God said. Moses' actions that day in Israel, it declared exactly that he believed what God said was going to happen, and he never let off of it. And we see this all up through the scriptures, where when God revealed things to his people, their lives backed it up 100%, and they never backed off of it. But here in the message, the anointed ones at the end time, I'm sorry, let's read here first, I believe. Yes, well, this is The World is Falling Apart, April the 12th, 1963. And Brother Brandon began to speak. He says, just a few days ago, when them seven angels came down in that vision, many of you knowing it, said, go to Tucson and wait there for a while, and you'll hear a blast off. And when it goes, return back. And the seven seals were opened at the tabernacle the other day. And when I see people coming from standing there at 3 o'clock in the morning to get a place to get into the auditorium and so forth, seeing hungry hearts coming from everywhere, I thought, oh God, we're bound to be at the end. Remember, the sounding of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God, was finished. And there came an angel from heaven and swore with his hands raised from heaven, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the time would be no more, exactly right, the hour. What church is he coming to? The church that we're living in, the Laodicean church age. The last church age, when lukewarm, just enough to dance around and say, yes, I got it. I spoke in tongues, I shouted, hallelujah, I got it. And come back in our churches and look like a bunch of Jezebels, look like a bunch of I don't know what, corruption. Remember, your outside expresses your inside, no matter how much your testimony is. Your life speaks louder than your words, oh. And we're here. We've arrived. Something is fixing to happen. It comes from above, not from any of these things here. It comes from above. God will send Christ. Yeah, we've got our genius, and now you're wanting a genius. The church world, I don't mean you individuals here. This is taped. What about it? You're wanting it. You'll get it. Go right into the council of churches, the very thing that you come out from, to be what you are. And then your organization is leading you right back into it again. Just exactly what you come out of, the thing that God cursed, the pollution, the dirt, the filth. Why, in that council of churches, some of them don't even believe in the virgin birth, the coming of Christ, or nothing else. How can two walk together except they be agreed? There you are. And just look what's happening to the message churches. Some don't believe in the changing of the soul. Some don't believe in it. They believe it's a regeneration. Look at all the words that's been tore down that God has proclaimed in this last age. And each person, we don't stand here as a church. We stand here as before God as individuals, as our brother pointed out this morning. And as individuals, what do I believe and what's been revealed to my heart? And where do I stand with what God is requiring in this last age? Am I lining up with every word? And does my life punctuate every word with a healthy amen? That so be it, Lord, to me according to thy word. And does my life resound that, or is there still things that maybe in the back of my mind, I'm not sure if that's really what Brother Branham meant. I'm not sure exactly. When we've got to be standing here with our hearts centered on God and the Word, knowing that we're standing exactly the way He wants us to stand. And we're matching up exactly with the Word that He's presented us. Remember, the messenger came and the message didn't change. It's still the same as it was the day it was delivered from God to us. And to each one that's heard it from then till now, the message ain't changed one bit. It's still the same. People change, but God's word does not change. He says, the coming of Christ, and how can two walk together except they be agreed? There you are. He said, well, I guess it's time for me to quit. He says, but brother, sister, just remember this. We're at the end time. Education has took the place of salvation and how we've seen it. All of these things that he was speaking of, think of that. This was 1963, 57 years ago. and look at today what we can see, what education has done. Education has took the place of salvation, and the church denomination has taken the place of the body and bride of Christ and set it all in that corruption. That's what you want. That's what the people want. That's what in the American church, that's what's in Pentecostals. They want somebody not to come tell them the truth. They don't want it. You tell them, they say, I don't have to listen to such stuff as that, and turn their little nose up and walk out of the building. They won't listen to it. That's what's in their heart. They express exactly what they are. Which one of the prophets ever come in the old days? Which time did Christ come? Whatever messenger ever come from heaven but what the church rejected? We're here. The world is falling apart. The church is falling apart. The systems are falling apart. Why? Because it's a system outside of God. That's it. We're at the end time. There's nothing else can be done. Yes, sir, everything, remember. And let's just ask this question before we go. And he goes in to speak about, what if Russia got their Messiah? What would happen to us? Let us remember Germany got theirs not long ago. And we well remember that. They got their Messiah, their Hitler, their genius. What if Russia got hers? What would happen? If there wasn't a God of mercy in heaven, I don't know what we would do, and our hopes would be gone. But there's a true church. There's a church that's waiting for the coming of the Lord, and God will always grant it. But those who are ordained, you say, what good will it do to stand if it's this kind of a system? But there's a predestinated seed. When the light strikes it, they'll catch it like that. Brother Branham snaps his fingers, and she'll bloom, and they'll blossom right now. Others will just go right over the top of it. They'll believe in their system, and that's just the way it is always. Like it was in the days of Noah, they believed the same thing. But those who were predestinated to eternal life, they got it. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except the Father draws him, and all that the Father hath given me will come. And we just got to scatter the seed and throw the light. And oh, each one of you ought to be a lighthouse. And oh my, as we see these things coming to pass, how we should each one be a lighthouse of this message, representation through our lives. The written word that God spoke has now become a vindicated, a manifestation back through us, proving out that what God said would be, will be in a people's hearts and lives. Or are we like so many others? We have to weigh ourselves as we look at these things. Have we let world cosmos, these organizations, the politics of the world, all the things of daily life, does it truly take our place and we lose our vision of what God has said is going to happen? Have we lost sight that city is truly coming? It's been prepared. And we're looking for that catching away of that bride. And we know that the millennium is just over there. But do we keep all of these things in our hearts and in our minds, or does it become a story and it becomes vain and it falls back behind us and we just go on with life every day? And we come, yep, it's time to hear the preacher again, and I'll go do this, and then I'll go hear the preacher again. Oh yeah, that was good. I remember Brother Branham saying that. I remember hearing that. I remember when Brother So-and-so first told me about Brother Branham saying that. We can rehearse all of these things. But oh my, is the message coming alive in our hearts and in our minds? Is it becoming the center of our thoughts and everything about us? You know, as our pastor has been speaking on prayer here lately, this little quote is in the message testimony preached August the 14th, 1950. And Brother Branham was given a warning, and he was talking about, he said, God loved Israel, paragraph 9. He said, God loved Israel, but when Israel sinned, she reaped what she sowed, and we're in for judgment. Mark that down. Remember, I have said it from the platform. When it comes to pass, you remember what I said. My Christian friends and sinner friends, whatever you do, if you believe me to be sent from God, you seek the kingdom of God just as quick as you can and get into it. For that's the only safety we have today. The world's at the end of the age. And only in Christ are you saved. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying it just as sanely as I know how to stand here in this platform and say it. But my heart's been stirred for a time. And I know that we're ready for something. Now come in, and you Christians don't stay in a lukewarm condition anymore. Lay aside everything and just get as close to God as you can walk with Him and talk with Him. And let everything else be secondary but your prayer life. And stay right with Him all the time. I want you to look and think, as the Holy Spirit's been stressing over the last course of several months, and a year now probably. But as we see the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the importance of being found in this Word, and not getting our minds caught up with, well, this is over here and that's over there, but being centered to what God has said. And sometimes we get so focused, and it's so easy to do. We come through, even coming from where we have come, from where I have come from in the past, to get caught up in, well, they said this was all right to do. This, in our minds, we think something may be fine. And we accept it because somebody said something, and that's the way we've always done it. But did we ever go back and look into God's Word to see what God said about it? And you know, that happens so many times with so many things. As you're walking through life and you run into a brother and you say, "Brother, I was wondering about this." And that brother gives you his opinion. But did it line up with the Word? Or did he just pass off to you what he thought about it? And never, he didn't search it, you didn't search it, and you walk through your life with this idea in your mind that this is the way it is. And never go back and look at God's Word to say, am I in tune with God's Word, instead of just holding to what somebody's told me. And how, as we can see the importance of that, as we move into this last few moments of time. It's not a, well, brother so-and-so said, and I'm holding on to that. No, it's what God said, and I'm holding on to that. And by God's grace, He's holding on to me with the revelation that He's imparted into my heart of that thing. And how we must see that in the reality of what we're fixing to face as we see these times coming upon us and the world's falling apart and we see all this happening. And if you get your confidence set up in a man, you know, we see this world in the shape that it's in. And God done and declared what it was going to be 50-some years ago. Amen. He done and spoke what was going to happen, and no one's going to change that. Amen. But you know, it blew my mind, and I'm not condemning anyone that votes, but when you look at what Brother Branham said about voting, and if you go back and search it, but then when you see all of the message churches that ran to the polls to try to elect a president this time, I wonder if they consulted God before they went to make sure they had a right to vote that man in. I wonder if they stopped to consider, would this be the will of the Lord for this one to be the right one? Amen. Yes, we all as human beings can look and say, this is good and that's evil. But if we hold both, if you was to hold both men up and beside of God and say, what's evil and what's good, then compare that in the light of God's Word, and where would you cast your vote? Amen. And it, not that we bring politics to the pulpit, but just to show you an idea of how we can get caught up in the world cosmos and we forget what God said about it. We forget to consult what the Lord would really want for us to do. It might have been God's will for, just to say, it could vote one or the other. Whichever one you voted for, God may have directly directed you to vote for the other one, and you never really consulted Him to find that out. You went on your own intellects of what you thought was best for you as an individual. But God may have a whole different picture. That's just one thing. But that can apply to every situation in our lives. Sometimes what may look like the road of ease for me is not exactly what God wanted me to have. And how, if we'll consult the Lord in everything and truly go back to His Word and let Him do the leadership, yes, I might have to stumble over some pretty rough rocks on this other road, but that might have been the way He wanted me to go. And oh my, how we should make sure that in every situation we're consulting God's precious Word. But oh, how we forget in this age, it's so easy to forget that the message came. God sent a prophet. And God sent the directions that we would need in this last age. And yes, it's 2020. It's not 1963 anymore. But the Word is still the same today as it was then. And God means it just for, and it'll hold true till He comes and takes that bride off of this earth. Just some food for thought. Amen. Maybe to think about. But so many people have their trust in this worldly cosmos. Their security is in a good government, a good this, a good that, when our security should lay right here. It doesn't matter what's going on around us, but our security is in knowing that if I die tonight walking out that door, I know where I'm going to rest. Amen. Knowing that there I have peace and joy within. Oh my. How we should have such a peace. How nothing down here should shake us that bad. Of anything that comes along in life. You know, we're going to face tough times. Life is a cycle. There's a time to be born, a time to die. All of these things happen and they go through our lives. But how thankful we ought to be that if we know Jesus Christ, no matter what our age, that if I have that blessed hope, that I would not have you be ignorant, brother. that those that are asleep in Christ Jesus shall raise first. Amen. And oh, how these things should comfort our hearts. And as Paul began to speak about death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Amen. And how these things should be pulsating in the heart of the little bride. Amen. Death is but an open door to victory if you know where you're standing. Amen. And why would I fear what's there? If you know, Brother Branham talked about how he feared death. And how that God took him beyond the curtain of time to show him that. And why? To bring that message back that we could read it and see that what God has said is right and true. And to take that fear out of our hearts. Amen. And to give us peace that it don't matter, my life's in God's hands. What he sees will be, and I want his will to be done. Amen. Whatever. But if we could just find that place in God's word, this is our sole resting place. It's everything. It'll give you that peace in the time of trouble. It'll give you that comfort. And as our brother has been talking about prayer, when you can go into that little prayer closet and begin to cry out to the Lord, and you know he's right there with you. And you know he's hearing what you're asking. He hears what you're saying and what's burning on your heart. And not just a mouth-to-mouth of words coming forth to please somebody else that they're listening to you. But when you're in there alone with him and it's truly coming from the depths of your heart, he knows. And oh my, what a consolation, what a sweetness, and a joy it is. Not saying it won't go through tough times. Not saying we won't have hard loads to bear sometimes. But oh my, he is my ever-present help in the time of need.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Brandon was saying this also. Now this is in the Anointed Ones at the end time. Just to catch this, kind of along the same lines, but we'll start here at paragraph 261. This was preached July 25th, 1965. And he says, Revelations 10 said in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, now remember, the seventh Laodicean church age, the sounding of that angel, when that church age is done and denominated and become a church age, when it's done, it's in Pentecostal organization, when the messenger to that. What was each messenger? What was Martin Luther, a rebuke to the Catholic? What was Wesley? A rebuke to the Lutherans. What was Pentecost? A rebuke to them others. And where has the life gone now? Away from an organization. No more shuck. It's grain. What is it? A rebuke to the Pentecost, see? To fulfill scripture of this hour. Notice, the very day when this messenger, now when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message, see the first pull healing, the second pull prophesying, the third pull opening of the word, the mysteries revealed, no more, there is no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way a prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. Do you see it? It is then in that day when this thing is to take place that Jannes and Jambres, the impersonators, will appear again, just like they did when Moses appeared with the original word to say it. If they appear to impersonate it, just exactly right. Now you see Matthew 24:24 is the anointed ones. Now there's three things going to say here. We're going to say here before we close, and this is it. I want you to listen real close now as we close. Three things. Remember, three things have been fulfilled. Three things lays before you right now. First, the world is in a Sodom condition. Jesus said it would happen. Look at the perversion, our women trying to act like men and our men trying to act like women. Sissified, rotten, filthy, low down, devil possessed, and don't know it. And have you ever seen an age now to where it's become, what are you identifying as today? You go to the doctor and it's, what are you today? Because tomorrow you might be something else. And they have these big long forms you have to ask. What an age of perversion. And how it's truly took people's minds over and it's went totally insane. And look at it, it's just progressed. It's never stopped. It's just kept progression. And getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse the closer we get to the end of time. He says the Bible said it would happen, and that's where it's at. Secondly, it's in that hour, according to Scripture here, that Jannes and Jambres appear secondly. And we've seen it. Impersonators claiming to believe this message, and their life's not in it. They're impersonating it, following after it, and not truly no love for it at all. And thirdly, it's in the same hour that the Son of Man is to be revealed. There is your believer, your make-believer, and unbeliever. There is a genuine word standing out, vindicated. There is the make-believer impersonating it, and there is the unbeliever rejecting the whole thing. And he stops over here and he says, and out into the land where this message is going, he just he sang a verse of the little song, Redemption is Drawing Nigh. And then as he finished, he went back into saying, out into the land, paragraph 268, where this message is going from the East Coast to West, from California to New York, down into the South, up into the North, out into the missions, wherever it's going. And in this tabernacle, we are poor. We don't have these great big flowery things, television cast. We're just trying to do the best we can. But all the Father has given me will come. And in that being of that message going, I want you to look now at how easy it's become over in Africa. All of these countries that were poor and are still super poor. But look at how the message is now being able to be passed off into their hands. And look at the reception. It's went around the world. I don't know of any place that can say they've not had a chance to receive what God has sent onto this earth through a prophet. And oh my, how we are the first partakers of that. And had it maybe before many did. And does it mean as much to me as it does to that new one that's just fresh hearing about it over there in one of those other countries? Or someplace far out in the bush? You know, I was noticing as Brother Branham was beginning to speak there in that one, in the other quote, he said how they would stand for hours at the auditorium. And oh, now we can't hardly get to church to hear the word. Because why? We've lost the revelation that it was God's message to us. And God sent a fivefold ministry to bring that message back to us. So we lose the importance of going to church because we think just the pastor's going to get up and speak. He's going to bring his message. Not realizing that it was God's provided way to keep rehearsing the message in which he sent. To keep it fresh in our hearts and in our minds. To make sure that we're towing the mark and lining up and ready for that great and final day that's fixing to come upon us. But oh my, we get so caught up with the days of this, the lives that's of this world is just going to church. We do that on Sundays. That's what we do. We're Christians. But it's supposed to be an everyday affair in our hearts and in our lives. Walking with Him. And Sundays is a special day that we set aside everything that we can and go and totally give it the whole day to Him. But every day, a minute of our lives should be spent in totally praying without ceasing, as our brother said, making melody in our hearts. This is something that's happening all the time. And if that's happening every day, when you finally get the chance to go together with your brothers and sisters, you'll be the first one through that door, I can tell you. Because there's a drawing and a longing in your heart to see that happen in your heart and in your life. Amen. God knows all about our situations. Amen. He says here, now I want you to know this for sure. You might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself. My being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. My voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare and do and determine to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the ones that performs these things and foretells these things as to happen as perfectly as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. No, it was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is Christ. He is the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And if you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength, to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it? And oh my, how we should be feeding daily on that precious body word. And making sure that we're taking it in each and every day. And making sure that we're looking for and grasping the truth of this laying before us. You know, as we read in Matthew, the foolish virgins, when that cry went forth, those wise virgins, they picked up their lamps that were trimmed and filled with oil and they went. And we have a chance now to make sure that our lamps are filled well with oil. We have an opportunity to make sure that our wicks are trimmed and ready and burning the bright as they can. We have that opportunity now. And what are we doing with it? And what's it mean to me to have that opportunity? as we get a chance to gather in where God does the trimming sometimes. When we come in where sometimes it's maybe the no chastisement is pleasant at the time, but it will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And are we yielded to that, that let God's word do the trimming? Yes, he uses man to bring that word. He uses man to speak back and to renew our minds to these things. But can I look past the man and look back to God's messenger and what the message was for this hour? And then from that pool that what God is giving me, I can line up with 100%. Oh, saints, it's a checking up time. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. You know, it was a sober time that night in Israel when they was applying that blood over the door. But what a joyous time as they were knowing we're leaving this old land. We're leaving this old bondage that we've been in. And oh my, you know, with great seriousness, they were guarding God's precious word and making sure that everything was just the way he said. But they knew that if they kept it to the line, the next day they were leaving that Egypt. And oh my, that ought to be burning in our hearts. If I can just see everything that God has said vindicated and matched up and know that in my heart that I am walking pleasing and according to the precious word of God. Yeah. Oh, what a great joy it ought to bring as I see this great nation crumble around us. Yes. This thing that God provided this nation, the strength that it's had to get to where the word could come forth, where we could have freedom of religion and all these things, and how we appreciate the men that have fought and died for those things, and what a great disrespect it is to see it happening around us. But we can't help that. God has done and pronounced what it would be. And it was only for a time and a season. But all his word is eternal. And by God's grace, I seen that I was in the thoughts of God. And his thoughts were eternal. And by God's grace, I know he's prepared a city. And he's told me in his precious word that we would inhabit it. And as our brother mentioned this morning, we're going to walk on Grace Avenue. We're going to walk on streets of pure gold and walls of jasper. We're going to see these things, trees that are going to change their fruits 12 times a year. Yes. All of these things that's recorded in God's word, I believe it. It's going to happen, and I'm going to be a partaker of it by God's grace and his mercy because he first loved me. Not because what I've done or what I did to deserve to be able to understand of what I understand of this message, but God found me. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that he found me. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Just a few thoughts just to share with you. Not a great big message, but stir your hearts back to, don't forget, the message came, saints. Amen. The messenger's already been sent. The bridegroom is coming. And he's just, could be around the door. Right around the corner. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know we're close. Yes. And let's not get caught up and lose our vision. But let's stay focused to God's precious word and what he has for us in this last few moments of time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if we know it. That little course, Someday Soon Jesus is Coming. I don't think it's in the book. We're singing it. Coming Soon, Jesus in All His Glory. I think we probably know it. Let's try it. Amen. Coming soon, Jesus in all his glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King. Coming soon, we'll be with him. Oh, be ready for Jesus. Try it again. Amen. Coming soon, Jesus in all his glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King. Coming soon, and the whole world will be with him. Believe it? Amen. Amen. He's coming soon. May we be ready. Yeah. Amen. Watching and waiting, loving and longing for that appearing. Amen. Oh, maybe if times get a little tougher, maybe it'll cause us to want to long to be out of here a little bit more. Might make that love for that appearing a little bit stronger. You know, sometimes we just have it way too easy as we walk through life, and we just think it's the way it's always going to be. And we don't know what'll come and what will be. But by God's grace, I pray, Lord, you just keep holding my hand, and you keep holding me, Lord. And by your mercy and grace, I'll be exactly what you want me to be here. And oh, one of these days, we're going to see him face to face. Amen. What a day it's going to be. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
May the Holy Ghost truly deal with our hearts to get ready for the appearing of the Lord. That it be to us as individuals a true reality that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And our bodies will change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, and as our brother mentioned, you know, maybe that would be the best thing for us, is things really get bad. Yeah. Where we really that we have to pray and ask God to put food on our table. Yeah. To give us means to just live. That might be the best thing. Where we'd really be open-hearted and mindful. We serve a living God. Where we have to rely on Him every day of our life. Oh, is that what it would take? Or do we really love Him? Soul, mind, spirit, and strength applied to Him. Lord, help us. Help me, Lord, to be ready, for that day is coming soon. For He shall come as a thief in the night. But thank God for His mercy and grace. We are not ignorant. No, He has shown us the signs of the time are truly pointing to Him. You say, well, that's been said for a long time, my brother. Everybody's talked about the appearing of the Lord Jesus for a long time. Well, as he mentioned tonight, Moses talked a long time about that rain coming. 120 years. Think of that. Look how long it's been being talked about the appearing of the Lord. But guess what? One of these days, it's really going to happen. Lord, help us to be ready, because it's truly going to happen. Don't get your eyes centered on things of this earth, friends. Material things and life in general and jobs and all those different things. It's going to all pass away. We should just approach it as, Lord, just let me understand that anything I'm blessed with, I'm just borrowing it for a little time. And it's not mine anyhow. It all belongs to you, Lord. What you've let me use, we do, Lord, every day. Just maybe a little extra blessing, you know. But truly, may we be getting ready to leave. Not getting ready to stay longer. Not getting ready to have a great big storehouse of this and storehouse of that and all these different things. But may we apply our lives in getting ready to leave. Getting ready change this body. Again, all goes back, friends, in closing. Are we really, as the scripture says, loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Loving it. Oh, that's all I can say is, Lord, help us. Let us be the one. Things are distracting people so easily anymore. Troubles and trials and tests and problems and family problems and jobs. It's distracting people so easily anymore. But Lord, help us. Please help us. Don't not get caught up to where the very daily cares of life choke us, where we become unfruitful. May you help us, Lord. Pray, saints. Pray. It's winding down. We must get ready for the sweet appearing, the sweet
sweet changing of the body. Oh, wouldn't you love to lay this body down? You know, when you're young, you're not too excited about it. But the older you get, the more you're ready to lay it down. Amen. And you want a body that'll never have any more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrows. Just sweet bliss in the glory of our Heavenly Father. Oh, what a day we're living in. Glorious hour. Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words tonight. These words of life. Words that truly has meant something to us, Lord. And as I pray many times, Lord, and ask you that regardless of when the word comes and how it comes, as long as it's the word, that, Lord, it'll always find that good ground down on the inside. And it'll bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth, Lord, the things that you're looking for in our life and cause us to surrender greater to you. Let you really, truly have that greater preeminence in our lives. We ask again now, Lord, that these words spoken tonight will not go out void, but truly be a living reality in our hearts. And again, Father, I'm praying for your little sheep here. Lord, attend this little tabernacle. How we can see the enemy, Lord, is trying all he can do to destroy, and to tear apart, and to kill. Cause people to lose their desires. And our brother even mentioned, Lord, that's what the prophet said. He said, oh, how it would be that every time those doors would open, we couldn't wait to be there. I remember a time, Lord, when people used to be that. They used to have that. They wouldn't miss service for nothing. But it seems like that's disappeared, Lord. So many have lost that enthusiasm. Many has lost that desire to do so. There's so many more things in life that become so much more important than serving you. Lord, we do. We realize there's things and purposes why we can't be here at times. That's not what we're talking about, Lord, and you know that. But Lord, it's the desire. Heart's desire to hear that word and have our minds renewed, as our brother spoke of, through that prophet that came forth. The word of life came through that man's lips. And it's our food, Lord. We come back to get stirred and have our minds renewed. And you told us plainly in the word of God, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, even more so as that day approaches. And we know that day is approaching. It's on us. And how we need to make sure we do everything your word tells us to do. We ask now that you bless us as we leave this little place. And may we stay true to your word. And may we express our love to you the remainder of this week, Lord. And from every day, every moment we live, may not be afraid to talk to you, knowing you're there to listen to us. And if we don't know that, Lord, we ask that you take your word. Bring us to that realization. We ask all these things now to your glory and your honor. May we always praise you, Lord, above everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise his precious name. I love him. It keeps getting sweeter and sweeter every day. And I want it to keep getting sweeter and sweeter. I want to be more assured every day. More assured today than I was yesterday. Yes. Walk closer to the Lord than I walked yesterday. Amen. Walking in the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. May that be your desire also. Amen. But saints, remember, keep each other in prayer. Asking God to keep a Holy Ghost fire burning all around us. Because there's many in here that's going through some terrible things right now. Some are being discouraged. Some want to give up. Pray. Pray, saints. Like you never have in your life. Pray. Oh, how we need God. Amen.
I say that because I may know some things you don't know. You may stand there and think, oh, everybody seems like everybody's getting along okay. Just remember, God knows way more than I know. But I know probably more than what some of you know. But one thing about it, I'm not going to let it discourage me. I serve my God. And the relationship is between me and Him. Be sure that's the way it is with your life. Because tomorrow, you could wake up and not even want to be here anymore. And you think you've got it whipped. You think you can handle it. It is God, rich in mercy and grace, that you rise every day with the desire to serve Him. It's His mercy and grace. Remember that. And you think you could change it if you raised up in the morning and you didn't want to even come back to service anymore? You think you can change it? No, you can't. It's God, rich in mercy. If you desire to be here today, may God richly bless you and remain with you and keep you in His love and mercy.